Right. Thanks very much. I'm just going to have some pictures in the background, which we'll just rotate over. It's really more to add a bit of colour and movement than anything else, other than the fact that it was the slides that you see are based from a presentation I recently gave in the Middle East, which hopefully is going to result in us winning another project of $200 million in retail and office space. In fact, that same week I was in the Middle East, which is only 2 weeks ago, we picked up two more $100 million projects, two separate hotels. I first became aware of the importance of the global economy 30 years ago when I graduated from university. Within a month of completing my final assignment, I took off on the Grand Tour, which is quite common with Australians and, in my view, essential for architects. After spending 6 months in Dubai, I found myself in a much more hospitable place, Marbella on the Costa del Sol, where ironically I worked on projects for Arab clients in Kuwait. While there, my parents came to visit me, my father, also an architect, and I had a long lunch with one of his expatriate friends who was working with the local in the local property sector. David Barclay would have made the 80s White Shoe Brigade in Queensland look like a bunch of rank amateurs. He wore a white suit, white shoes, Panama hat, and carried a cane for added effect. The only colour evident was his somewhat ruddy complexion and his very colourful turn of phrase. After mucha sangria and tapas, David said to my old man, "Jeff, your boy's got the right idea getting here to Europe. Why do you waste your days in Perth flogging your wares up and down St George's Terrace? The place is inhabited with 500,000 fuckwits. Get your ass over here, there's 200 million of them." Well, I suspect David was making a broad statement on his perceived gullibility of his clientele. There was no denying the underlying premise that the bigger one's market is, the better the opportunities that will arise. This message was again made to me in a much more considered and compelling manner in 1992 when I chaired a committee for the state government on research and development in the construction industry. One of the members of the committee was a scientist from the CSIRO, and at one of our meetings he gave me a paper that had been prepared by them some 5 years prior that he thought would be of interest. In short, the conclusion of their study was that within 20 years, all major construction would be completed by multinational construction consortia operating on a global basis, and that the consultants with whom they worked would need to be able to operate on the same scale. As a sole director of a small to medium-sized practice, it was very grave news indeed. Already in Perth, consultant firms were starting to JV larger projects with eastern states-based consultants, albeit at the time this was on a job-by-job basis, as against the formal merging of entities. It struck me at that time I had three options: get big, get small, or get out. The idea of a small boutique practice with a particular market niche was not appealing to me, and I was too young to retire, so get big it was to be, and I entered into discussion with a number of practices, local and eastern states. I wound up merging my practice in 1995 with the Cox Group, who at that time had offices in Sydney, Melbourne, Brisbane and Canberra. These offices were effectively franchises operating as separate entities. However, it was a condition of my joining the company that we merge into a single entity with common directors and goals, and this is agreed and enacted in the following year. Having bedded down the national business, it seemed only natural that we should start consolidating our presence in all offshore locations with a view to ironing out the financial bumps, not only on a state-by-state basis, but also on a national-international basis. While it is difficult to imagine the local economy in downturn, given the boom times that we have enjoyed for an extended period now, one only has to look back to the late 80s, early 90s, to J-curve economics, the banana republic, and the recession we had to have. My leaving Australia back in 1977 was not only because of a desire to travel, but at the time it was near impossible to get a paid job in architecture, as the economy at that time was also in recession. Our company over the last decade endeavoured to expand significantly our activities offshore, where we now have several international offices and are completing works in China, Malaysia, the United Arab Emirates, Singapore, New Zealand and South Africa. As a result, our fee turnover has increased significantly from $10 million in the 1996 financial year to $65 million last financial year. Approximately a quarter to a third of our total income in any year is now being derived from overseas billings. And in the last 3 years, we've billed $45 million. From an export dollar viewpoint, it is not only the fees that Cox earns that need to be taken into consideration, as there is a significant compounding effect to other Australian businesses. We generally engage other Australian consultants to work on these projects, many of them who enter a region for the first time on the back of the projects we have introduced. We also specify Australian suppliers and Australian manufactured products. Australian artists are all included in our structures. Given architectural fees are only, say, 5% of the construction cost of the building, it is not unreasonable to suggest the knock-on effect to other Australian exporters would conservatively be 10 times that. I believe as a nation we are highly regarded and can compete in any market on an intellectual basis. However, over the past few years it has been increasingly challenging to compete on a financial basis. It is my observation that our competitors from other nations benefit from significant government assistance, which is not the case with Australia, for the service sector at any rate. To make matters worse, our dollar has been steadily increasing in value to almost par with the US dollar only a few weeks ago. Fortunately, from an exporter's viewpoint, it has retraced in the past fortnight to 87 cents, but the medium to long-term position is hard to budget for. When we completed our first project in the Middle East 8 years ago, our dollar was 65 cents US, and for a short period dropped as low as 50 cents. One option available to us to enable us to maintain a competitive edge is to outsource our work. There is no doubt that it is cheaper for us to have drafting of construction drawings completed in India, Vietnam, or the Philippines. However, this does not sit comfortably with me. My preference clearly is to employ and train people here in Australia. 100 people working for Cox, paying taxes and contributing to our economy is much better than the outsourced alternative, in my view. Let's not forget also that there is a significant intellectual property in what we do, and I don't just want to give it away. However, without some form of encouragement from government, I don't see any real alternative. In summary, I believe the prediction of the CSIRO 20 years ago was right to the money, almost to the day. Technology has made working abroad simple, with distance now being irrelevant. It's cheap and easy to use. What we need is for the government to acknowledge the effort by those of us in the services sector that do contribute significantly to the economy through our exports. This, I'm pleased to say, has in part been achieved with the appointment of a minister with a responsibility for services, and I applaud that. But I think now is when the hard work begins. Thank you.